When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The horses are on the track.
Right around Australia on SEN Track. Thanks to Racing Queensland, this is the Queensland Hoop with Sam Collett.
Yes, welcome to the Queensland Hoop with Sam Collett and I. Alyssa Smith is my name, where we are bringing you the latest in Queensland racing, or Racing Queensland news, I should say, for the next half an hour. Sam, always a pleasure to see you on this Friday morning.
Yes, it's a pleasure to see you too, Liz. Your smiling face just brings me so much joy.
Oh, thanks, Sam. Likewise. I want to dive deep this week into the world of racing. And I just want to, for all of the punters out there, just find out a little bit more about what goes on in, say, the jockey room, the types of tracks that you race on, the difference in rail positions and making weight as well, which, you know, obviously sometimes that could be a little bit hard to talk about, but the different type of sweat sessions that you undergo and the different ways that you can immediately lose weight. It seems like, you know, people spend a year trying to lose weight and they work really hard, but for jockeys it just seems like you just drop kilos straight away.
I like to say that I'm probably one of the fortunate ones, but it's been nothing for some of the jocks to be losing 2 or 3 kilos the morning of a race meeting. But it's certainly not a sustainable way to do it. And if you're listening to the show, I don't recommend doing some of the things that we do. If you want to try and keep the weight off in a healthy, you know, sustainable way, not the lifestyle for you.
Are not medical practitioners.
But it is certainly, there are some extreme ways that people will do to make weight, essentially. And when you talk to some people, yes, you know, we get paid to ride, but we also get paid to make weight, because if you don't make weight, you don't get to ride.
So you don't get paid.
That's it. It's just the way it goes. So there's a lot that goes into it. But like, as you touched on, you know, the last few weeks, probably even months, I mean, the weather has just played absolute havoc with, you know, people trying to prepare horses for races. For me as a jockey, trying to do form, abandoned meetings, the moving of rails, transferring of meetings to different tracks, like you say, from the grass to the poly and things like that. There's been a lot going on. So I think it's good that we have a little talk about how that affects the industry and everyone that's participating in it.
Well, how does it affect the industry? Obviously, it's not just when you say you're trying to study form, it's not just jockeys as well. It's the trainers, it's the owners, you know, the people who work at the different race courses too, presidents, chairmen. It affects everyone. When it comes to, you know, recently we've had a lot of wet weather. When it comes to a wet weather situation, obviously horses get scratched and things like that. But let's talk about the track, because it must be a lot harder for the horses to run on.
It absolutely is. So horses, obviously, in their day-to-day training, they're trained on, most of the time, a synthetic surface. So, for example, Eagle Farm has a dirt track and a sand track. They also have 2 grass tracks that are available to gallop on. But horses don't all work on a rain-affected grass track. So the conditioning that has to go into getting a horse fit to run on a wet track, there's a lot more that goes into it. I think we've said off air, it'd be like running down the main road as opposed to running down, you know, the beach and the heavy sand. So horses have to be very fit and conditioned. And if we're not prepared, you know, if trainers aren't preparing their horse specifically to run on a wet track, it's very hard to expect a horse to perform well on the day of a race meeting. So that's why you see quite a lot of scratching. Say, for example, horses are nominated for a race meeting, for a Saturday race meeting, on a Monday or a Tuesday. The weather looks like it's meant to be fine. Trainers are training their horses accordingly, expecting that the track conditions for the Saturday are going to be, say, in the good range, which is pretty much what you stock standard get here, especially like your Eagle Farm. It's a really well-draining track and things like that. So they're training their horses accordingly. You know, for a 1,200-meter race, they're doing what they would normally do. for some unforeseen reason, we get a lot of rain on a Friday. The track comes back not in a good sort of pentrometer reading, maybe closer to a slow or a heavy. So there, instead of running a 1,200 meter race in, say, 1 minute 10 seconds, you could be looking at running it in, say, 1 minute 18, which is doesn't seem a lot, but they sort of say that a 1 second is equivalent to 5 lengths in horse form. Wow. So if it's a 10 second difference, it's what's that? My math isn't good. 550 lengths or something like that. But it's a lot. So it's a big change for the horses, and that can be very detrimental to a horse in its preparation. If it's not conditioned to be running in those sorts of conditions, obviously your trainer will be like, listen, this is not optimal. We'll look to scratch our horse and wait for the weather to improve and find a more suitable racing surface. Or they may roll the dice and think we really need to race this horse on this day, because they have, you know, I would say 98% of the time they have a program set out in front of them. So they'll have, if they miss this race on the Saturday, then it pushes them back, you know, another 2 weeks. They're meant to have another run, and then they can't make that race because they've missed the run, and almost like a lead up.
It's a domino effect, isn't it?
It is, for sure. So there's a lot that goes into it. That's more the training side of it. It's a trainer's perspective. So they've got to weigh up, is their horse fit enough? Is this track conditions going to suit? You know, what kind of track are we getting on the day? For me as a rider, when I'm starting to study form, all of a sudden I'm doing form for what I assume is going to be a good track. Day of the races comes, there's been a lot of scratchings, the tracks come back as in a rain affected pentrometer reading. I then have to completely reassess how the races are going to be run. There's so much that goes into it, where the rail position is, barrier draws. If you draw an inside barrier on a good track, for me it's always been an advantage. If you draw an inside barrier on a rain affected track, it can pretty much just be game over.
Why is that?
Well, essentially the cambers of a lot of our tracks are, the rain will want to flow to the inside fence. So there's a slight camber of some of the tracks. So Caloundra or Sunshine Coast, as we talk about a lot, they talk about a crown there. So if you were to stand at the winning post and look up the straight to the 500 meter chute, sort of where we come around the corner, you'll see if the rail's in the true position, there's a crown. So it sort of plateaus in the middle and then it rolls off either side, like a road, I guess you would say. So if the rail was in the true position, from the true position to maybe four horses off the fence, you're essentially running sideways, right? And the water, say the, you know, it's been rain affected there, it's a lot damper there, so it's a lot harder for the horses to make ground or to accelerate there. So if you are stuck down on the inside there, it's competitive, you know, you don't want to be letting people out to the better part of the track if they are drawn inside you. That's just tough luck. It's the same if you've drawn wide on a good track, you're not going to just let people in and give them an advantage if you can help it. You know, you want to make them carry that extra weight and cover extra ground. So all these things come into play. So quite often when you're watching a, you know, a horse race on a wet track, you'll see most of the field get away from the inside fence.
Yeah.
And that's specifically because 9 times out of 10, that inside horse, you know, from the where the rail position is to 2 or 3, maybe 4 or 5 horse widths off the fence, is a lot more rain affected. So therefore it's slower ground.
Very fascinating. Very fascinating. So, you know, an inside barrier is a good thing on a good day, but, you know, an inside barrier on a wet day is not a good thing.
That's not where you want to be.
How much do you keep an eye on the weather? You must have a fair few weather apps on your phone.
Yeah, I do try and keep tracks of the weather. Obviously, it's important for me to know going forward. Preparation is key. Well, they say, what's the word I'm looking for? Failure to prepare is preparation for failure or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah,
that's what I was
failure
trying
to prepare
out.
Is preparing to fail. Yeah, that's something that's like that. Yes. To the effect of.
Wow.
Yes, no, I've got you. So the rail position. So that's really quite fascinating. So somewhere in the middle is, you know, a good place to be.
Yeah, it certainly is. You don't want to be getting out too wide, because you get out too far on the track, then you're also giving away, you're covering extra ground. So it's essentially a lot harder. Your horses, what could be a 1,200 meter race on a good track, if the track is wet, a 1,200 meter race, you're thinking horses are covering extra ground because they're getting away from the inside fence. They could be going, you know, 1,250 meters. If you've got a horse that's suspect at running a 1,200 meter trip out, like that might be as far as it wants to go. Covering any further ground is going to be detrimental to its chances.
I want to ask you as well about how on earth you do drop so much weight so quickly, because this is fascinating. And I know it is for a lot of people, as you were saying before, 2 to 3 kilos in one morning. How on earth, like you're sitting next to me right now, you're in what?
Smelly.
You're in what, you know, what's that
called? Yeah, like a sweat.
Yeah,
a
sweat
jacket. Yeah, like a long sleeve, suitable attire for 30 degree heat. Sometimes I put my beanie on and go and mow my lawns, and my neighbors think, oh, I'm mad.
I would too if I saw my neighbors doing that. But let's talk about the different types of sweat sessions, because we know there's the sauna. You can do a sauna session, you can sit in the hot bath, you can mow your lawn in your track pants and your beanie like you do, and you can walk around and go shopping in sweat gear as well. What's the most common way for jockeys to lose weight?
I would say, talking to most jocks and knowing what they do, their preferred way of sweating, I think it's because it's so accessible, there are spas in most of our metro jockey rooms. So, I mean, that way it's boys or girls can go to the races. They can sit, lose the, you know, the water weight essentially they need to. But a lot of the work is also done prior to. So, say on a Saturday, a lot of the jocks will know that they've got to lose a bit of weight. They might be wearing their, like you say, your sweatsuit, big jackets, track work in the morning, trying to lose a little bit of weight in the morning to make the job a bit easier getting closer to the races, because essentially you don't want to be stressing out. There's no set rule to, if you sit in the spa for half an hour, you're going to lose X amount of weight. Sometimes I can sit in the bath for an hour and lose 0.3 of a kilo, which is heartbreaking, as anyone who spends a lot of time sweating will tell you. Or sometimes I can sit in the bath for half an hour before a race meeting and lose 0.6. So there's so much that goes into it, obviously. If you're really tired, like for me personally, I find if I'm very tired, I struggle to sweat well.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know
why. I wonder why that is.
I'm not sure. I'm sure someone who's probably a little bit more tuned into it will be able to tell me.
A medical professional, yeah.
So, yeah, it's intense. I've known of people getting in sweatsuits and skipping in a hot shower for desperation stations.
Skipping in a hot shower?
Yep, to lose any point, you know, grams. That all comes down to 0.1 of a gram can be the difference between making weight and not making
weight. What's the craziest story you've heard about losing weight?
Oh, I've heard of people putting sweat gear on and driving to the races on hours on end, which is extremely dangerous. Please don't do this, people, if you're listening. Putting sweat gear on and putting the heaters on and driving to the races with sweat gear on in the car, and then running around the track with their sweat gear on before they ride. It's so extreme. Like, people don't appreciate from the outside what a lot of these jocks are putting their bodies through. The longevity of that can be very detrimental to their health.
Well, I was about to say, you've got to be careful, don't you, of your health?
Yeah, it's the absolute definition of madness, isn't it?
Well, you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't love it, Sam, that is for sure. Oh, wow. So that's pretty full on. Why are you losing? How much weight do you need to lose now?
Probably only got a kilo to lose between today and tomorrow, so happy days.
So that's fine. You'll be able to easily do that?
Yeah, especially if I'm doing wind sprints with my lawnmower and my beanie on.
Wind sprints,
you know, like really fast, like going up. I've got a very uphill lawn, so yeah, I'll be going up and down.
Do you
really mean fast.
Hill sprints?
Wind sprints, hill sprints, potato, potato.
I love this. All right, we'll stick with us here on the Queensland Hoop. We'll have the latest in Queensland racing, Queensland news after the break. Queensland is racing. The action continues this week across the Sunshine State. You can visit racingqueensland.com.au and imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
The horses are on the track.
Queensland is your place to race this year. This is the Queensland Hoop with Sam Collett on SEN Track.
Yes, this is the Queensland Hoop with Sam Collett and I, where we're bringing you the latest in racing Queensland news. Sam, this weekend, or tonight I should say, there's a night meet. I want to talk to you about the night meets as well, because obviously, you know, when you say you do form for the different types of tracks you're running on, you'd have to do a bit of form on the horses when they run at night time, right? The night meets?
Yeah, the only difference really is horses racing under lights. So obviously it's different for them visually. Mm. Some horses that have raced under the lights at night time before, they're obviously used to it. But you do get some horses that are inexperienced to it, and it can cause them to, race sort of greenly, I guess you would say. So inexperienced horses may sort of spot the shadows and that that's cast by the lights and the running rails and other horses and that during that a night meeting. You know, those are things we have in a night meeting you have to worry about. I have had horses that have spooked at the winning post because of the shadow that has been cast, which is never a fun time. But these kinds of things can happen, obviously, during the day as well. But sometimes it's cooler for them at nights too. Horses sometimes race a bit kinder, you know, with the cooler weather, especially somewhere, you know, so like Toowoomba, for example, who quite often have a night meeting on a Saturday, can be quite a fair bit cooler. And sometimes that may bring out the best in horses too. You know, it's easier for them.
Much easier. It'd be like running out on the street for humans, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
It'd be much kinder for them, that is for sure. But you're not a massive fan of the nightmates, are you?
The nightmates take a little bit of mental preparation. Obviously, quite often we have for me personally, I have to ride the Sunshine Coast night meetings on a Friday. So how I sort of prepare for that is normally I have, you know, track work on a Saturday. My alarm goes up at 3 o'clock, but if I'm in one of the last few races on a Friday night, which can lead me getting home to somewhere in the vicinity of 10:30 to 11:30, depending, you know, if there's any inquiries going on, if we've had any hold-ups, which can obviously happen. It does take me a little bit of time to unwind as well mentally. So if I'm getting to bed at 11:30, I've got, you know, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 2:30,
three and a half hours
of sleep. And then if I've got to, have a sweat in the morning, or spend time in the bath, sometimes I will just take that morning off track work so I can give my body a bit more time to sleep and recover, because Saturdays and obviously Sundays again are a busy day, so it's important. There'll be a lot of jockeys out there that aren't getting anywhere near the amount of sleep that you're meant to, so it does play a big part into it. And you've got to really be in tune with your body and listen to what it's trying to tell you.
It's so hard to pull up the next morning. Like, if you do that on a regular basis, the night meets to the early mornings, like you say, you're getting three and a half hours max.
Yeah, and it's not just us as well. Like, we've got to take into consideration, you know, the stable hands and people that are working with these horses. That say they're leaving Caloundra after a last race at 9:30, they're getting home at midnight, so it's very late.
That is very late indeed. Well, racing does continue across the weekend. We're at Cannon Park later on today as well. And then tomorrow we're at Eagle Farm, Aquas Park on the Gold Coast. Dalby, Gympie, Charleville and Charters Towers in the country for tomorrow. And then on Sunday, we wrap it all up on the Sunshine Coast. Sam, have a fabulous weekend.
Thank you very much.
And everyone else, happy racing. Thanks for tuning in to the Queensland Hoop with Both of Us. Queensland is racing. The action continues this week across the Sunshine State. You can visit racingqueensland.com.au.